The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by my good friend, LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, guys?
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Howdy do, everybody.
Howdy doody.
I'm Mike, a.k.a. Guardy B. It's Thursday, March 4th.
Motherfucking Guardy B.
We're ready to go. It's late. And we're ready to record. We're feeling loose. Everyone's feeling happy. We're going to talk a little bit of Jazz Sixers and how Joel, the powers that Embiid, put it down on Rudy Gobert and beat the Jazz in overtime. What do you guys think, man?
I'm in love with you, Mike. I'm in love with you.
Rudy Gobert, the playground bully, beats up first graders anytime he has to go up against another good center, and they give up 80 points in the paint, bro.
Embiid gave him 40 and 19, and it's like you said, Mike. Like whenever I see Gobert, I think about that motherfucking There Will Be Blood shit. Like that crazy ass bonus. I drink your milkshake. That's like all the bigs eat against that dude, bro. And I'm not taking anything from him. He's one of the best rim defenders in the league. But I mean,
he was food tonight. He was food tonight. Come on, man. Yeah.
He was food against the Pelicans. The Pelicans scored 76 points on those dudes in the paint. They took 7 3-pointers or whatever it was.
Zion cooks Gobert. And you know what I'm saying? Like,
he's been doing that since like preseason.
Preseason Zion. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? That's when Zion could play.
Yeah, 19-year-old first time stepping on an NBA court, Zion was
good. Made Gobert look like a fucking Rudy out here. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, but look, the Jazz, Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, and we all love Donovan Mitchell, but they were all talking after the game about, oh, we don't get any calls from the refs.
Let me, bro.
First of all, you're in first place. Not getting any calls from the refs. And second of all, welcome to first place, bro. Everyone's playing harder against you. You're on national TV. The spotlight's brighter. Everyone's giving your center, who's supposed to be, you know, this dude that people bother to get mad about on the internet. Everyone's giving him work. Like, bro, welcome to first place.
I love Donovan Mitchell. You shot 34 shots, 33 points off 34 shots, 12 from 34 from the field. Gobert, your defensive player of the year candidate, doesn't play the defensive player of the year. He looks like food. Embiid turned him in favors into fucking food all game. Clarkson, the six-man candidate, doesn't play like he goes 3 for 10 from the field. Like, regardless of if Embiid fucking puts up 40 and 20 on you or if Tobias Harris gets 20 and 10 and goes off in overtime, nigga, like, bro, you're not going to win games when y'all are playing that way. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, I just, like, you didn't play good enough. If you hit more shots, maybe, Donovan, 12 for 34 from the fucking field, and you're talking about the refs? That's ridiculous.
But according to Donovan, he doesn't care. The Jazz won tonight in his heart, as he said in that post. What the fuck, Donovan?
That doesn't show up on the stat sheet, Donovan. Yeah. All right. I mean, let's kind of prima donna-y. That's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, bro, you know, that's not very Utah Merrill shoe wearing shit right there. You're talking, you know, remember the roots. You know what I mean? Like, bro, like, stop, chill out, bro. You got to play better. Y'all got to play better.
The three of us, none of us like it when people talk about, oh, basketball was better in the 90s when it was more physical or whatever. None of us believe that, right? But I also will not go for people saying they're not getting enough foul calls in the NBA in 2021. Like, that's what the problem was with the NBA tonight, was there weren't enough fouls called.
When you went 12 for 34. When you went 12 for 30. It's like you had a great game and, you know, like – bro, y'all just didn't – the players that were supposed to play good for y'all to win didn't. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what makes y'all amazing this year, is that y'all have a defensive player of the year candidate, that you have a six-man of the year candidate, that you're an incredible player, Donovan, and none of that showed up tonight. You feel me? and you don't win. Cool. Move on. And it was a playoff game, and you probably put a little sick over the L. Yeah, you lost an OT, whatever. But refs, that's a cop-out. That's lame.
I also love that courteous-ass tantrum that Donovan Mitchell threw going to the locker room. Did y'all see that shit?
He's so kind.
he's such a nice guy. He smacked the fuck out of that Gatorade cooler. It hit a staff worker, and he ran over to the staff worker to make sure
he was up. I mean,
that was such a considerate tantrum right there.
He was mad, but he ain't never too mad to be nice. You know what I mean? Yeah, like,
I respect that.
I love that. I mean, I love Donovan Mitchell. He's fun to watch. He's a great dude. He's always on doing solid shit. But that's not the way to approach this L, bro. That's not the rest of the reason you lost. The reason you lost are y'all. You didn't play good enough to win.
But that's three losses in four games to the Pelicans, the Heat, and the Sixers. Mm-hmm. There was a common theme of some of the things we've relied upon, like our center, are looking like kibbles and bits.
Cooked food, bro.
So I get why they're upset, but yes, I did. My favorite moment in the whole game, to be honest with you, was he slapped the water cooler over, and then before it even hit the ground, he's apologizing to the security guard. He's such a good dude, bro.
I love Donovan, bro.
All right, John, you wanted to talk about the fact that championships are still considered the ultimate measure of basketball players. What did you want to say about
that? I was watching Melo talk about Lil Melo. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not Lil Melo, whatever.
You're touching,
right?
you were watching Carl talk about Lamb.
Yeah. Right. And I'm like, dog, like, somebody said that Melo won't get the respect he deserves. You know what I mean? That, you know, and I don't think he will. And, you know, he never, you know.
You're saying because he didn't win an NBA championship.
Didn't win a chip. And it's like, we saw Melo play. You know what I mean? Like, you can't tell me that man isn't a great. You know, he's the precursor to KD. You know what I'm saying? Like, when we watched Melo, Melo was, when T-Mac went down, you know what I'm saying? Kobe was still getting buckets, you know what I mean? Melo was the guy that scored easier than anybody else in the league. You know what I mean? CP3, look what CP3 does. What has he done in OKC? What did he do in Houston? Almost beat the best team I've ever fucking seen with KD. You feel me? You know what I mean? What is he doing in Phoenix right now? You know what I mean? Like, a while ago, they said T-Mac would have got whooped by KD 11-2. If T-Mac gets whooped by KD 11-2, everybody in the league will get whooped by KD 11-2. You know what I mean? That's how good T-Mac was. That's how good KD is. But that's how good T-Mac was. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just tired of, like, you know, like, people. I mean, let's talk Barkley.
I mean, but we're all still, like, counting down, waiting, hoping Bron gets six rings, right?
I mean, but that's for us, because that's for me personally. You feel me? I don't think Bron's already the GOAT to me. He's the best basketball player I've ever seen play basketball.
But you still know the chips. But you still know that he needs the six.
The six is for weirdos on the internet to leave me the fuck alone when I have my opinion. It's not because it's gonna help me believe him. I don't need CP3 to win a chip for me to not to see what CP3 does on the court, or Melo, or what Barkley did, or what T-Mac did before he got hurt, before he had the injuries. I mean, it's just kind of sick that, like, a lot of these players are forgotten or shit on because they never won the big one or never got the chip or whatever. You know, like, come on, bro. We saw Melo on the court. We see what these guys have done. You know what I'm saying? Like, T-Mac, T-Mac is going to get whooped by KD 11-2? That's what we're saying now? Like, we watched T-Mac play. There was a conversation of his league, you know, between him and Kobe. We had these top conversations. Kobe said he was the hardest person he ever guarded. I think it's ridiculous how we're approaching, like, great players and not showing love if they never won chips. You know what I mean? It's played. It's dated. It's with a lot of great players that did a lot of great things for the league in the league are not getting the love they deserve because they never won a chip. Fuck that. I'm sick of that shit.
I'm totally with you. I do think that rings culture is out of control now. But I mean, we got to find a healthy balance to where I guess we properly assess championships and circumstances, because take a guy like Dirk. that one ring means so much to Dirk, bro, to Dirk's legacy, to Dirk's story. You know what I mean? That's like the first thing I think about when we mention Dirk is that fucking 2011 run. Perhaps the greatest fucking playoff run ever if you look at the trail of bodies he left behind, right? Like fucking,
oh, yeah.
You know, the Brandon Roy Trailblazers, you know, the KD, Russ, Harden, mm-hmm. OKC, you know, Kobe and Powell, and then Bron, Wade,
Bron
and Bosh.
And Wade, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's like the most impressive trail of bodies ever left on a playoff run, in my opinion.
Shot 107% from the free throw line.
Right.
But the thing is, like, bro, if that makes sense if you're adding to his legacy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that makes sense. But, I mean, to take away from a guy's legacy because of a fucking – in a team sport because they never won a chip – like, what the fuck was Barkley going to do?
But it does.
Against Jordan and the fucking Bulls.
But Tyler's right.
What was he going to do?
But Tyler's right. It does mean something.
It means, you know, something. Like, I'm not, come on, man. You think it means nothing? I'm saying it doesn't solidify whether a dog was a dog. You know what I mean? Like, no.
If CP3 was traded to the Lakers, he'd be a better player now because he would have a ring.
Right.
Like, I.
Like Tyler says, he's the best floor raiser. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, dog, it's. I think it's just ridiculous how that is what we rely on basically solely at this point when it comes to talking about greats. I mean, do we remember how good Barkley was? They talked about it on the last podcast, and like the dream team where Barkley was the motherfucking killing.
Yeah, bro. MJ had to average 41 a game in a 6-game series where like all games were won by like less than 7 points to get Barkley out of here. Barkley was a fucking problem.
He was a problem. He was an anomaly. You know what I'm saying? Like at the time, he was the only him. And like, you know, when we see people talking about, you know. This is over here. This is where the chips, you know, you can't come over here.
I know, but the people that you're making fun of for saying that are Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. You know what I mean? The problem with ring culture now is it's like overrun by people on Twitter. But the conundrum of it is the NBA dudes say the same shit.
It's fun when they, to me, it's fun when they do it. To me, it's fun when they do it.
For sure.
When you're arguing, like, come on, man. Like, to go unbeaten in the finals, like, to make it to the finals isn't even respected at this point. With fucking bombs on your fucking team. You know what I'm saying? And, like, come on, dog. Like, I mean, it's just, when I think about these players, and I'm looking at Melo, show love to LaMelo. You know what I mean? When I'm seeing that, I'm looking at this guy like, motherfucker's gonna act like this dude wasn't this dude. Like he was the guy. I mean, like for years, he was the best scorer in the league. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's unfortunate. It's sick to me.
Has there been a better representation of like what is not enjoyable about basketball Twitter than everyone being in everyone's mentions about the Melo nickname? And then as soon as the game was over, Carmelo doing a jersey swap with LaMelo and being like, that's little Melo. That's my guy. Right. You know what I mean? Like, these dudes don't give a fuck about that shit.
Listen, bro, motherfuckers just want to complain about shit because we all saw how the tides were turned. Like, Carmelo doesn't even belong in the league. And now everybody's defending the sanctity of the Melo nickname. Motherfuckers just want to be irritated
right.
and annoyed about something, dog.
In that same game, I said, I'm shocked. How is Melo this good talking about LaMelo, who was the only one in the game, you know what I mean, at the time. You know
listen,
what I mean?
And listen, that's how nicknames work, bro. You know how many jujus I've covered in high school football in Long Beach, California? We got 3 jujus a fucking year. One of them's an NFL pro bowler now. Guess what? There's still 3 jujus at the same high school, right? There's like on every good high school soccer team, the best striker is named Poyo. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the nicknames stay. The players move through. It was the same thing with Jalen Rose, like having a great name. The name's going to be passed down. We're going to have a Melo in the league. I'm surprised we don't have a Shaq right now. You know what I mean? Right. Like,
I mean, there's only one Shaq.
No, but that's how nicknames work, bro. Like, I mean,
there's multiple Superman. You know what I mean? Like, whatever the fuck. You know what I mean? But like, yeah. But like, I tweeted about Melo in the game and people were saying like, how is he good? He's been playing 18 years. I'm like, shut the fuck up, please. Like, don't, like, you are purposely being a fucking weirdo, dog. And then it was so cool. Like, I just muted the tweet. I'm like, I don't want to hear none of these fucking dorks talking this lame ass shit. And at the end of the game, Melo says that shit. And I tweet the shit for all you weirdos that are caught up in this fucking
nickname. You said weirdos with your chest, too.
Bro, I said weirdos, you know what I mean? All neck and chest in that motherfucker. Full long. Stop it. Quit being lame. Let's focus on the game. Let's focus on basketball. The lame shit is, fuck all that. It's corny.
Did you guys see, speaking of Shaq, did you guys see the exchange Tuesday night between Shaq and Candace Parker?
Of course. Who didn't see this shit? Is it like, bro, this is Shaq's in trouble. I'm not saying Shaq is.
Hold on. Before we say anything about Shaq, let me say this. Candace Parker is I would take her over almost anyone on any table in any sport right now. Bro. She is so fucking good.
Yeah, I remember Pat Summitt saying she was the smartest player she ever coached. Fucking Pat Summitt. Pat's right?
Fucking Summitt.
One of the greatest basketball players ever said. Right. This was the smartest player I ever had. So yeah, Candace knows her shit, man.
I've told you guys, man, I've gotten to interview a lot of people, but getting to cover Candace Parker with the Sparks, those are some of the best interviews I've ever had in my career, because she was always she'd finish a question for you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She knew what you were trying to get to. She would she improved my knowledge of basketball as a reporter asking her questions. You know what I mean? And she, watching that look she gave Shaq.
Frustration. It was like, why am I talking about this right now?
It was like this
is foundational, right? We understand, okay? And I think that's why I think Shaq is in trouble, because he's stuck in what was. Listen, Shaq, that shit dead, bro. It's over with. The game has changed. Things have changed. You got to approach things differently, and that's why I say he's in trouble. He's still Shaq. But the man got to let the past go a little bit.
Bro, Candace was so bewildered she had to explain defensive rotations to a legend like Shaq. Like, she could not believe what was happening at that moment. It was something to see, man.
Shaq saw her point, why she made the point, you know what I mean? And still, like, what's up with man up? Why can't you just, bro, let the toxic masculinity go, dog. You feel me? Just man up, guard your man. Bro, like, just Shaq. You see what's going on here? Why are we arguing this? It's like, hey, bro.
I think Shaq just sees the game through the lens of when he played. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like Shaq cannot imagine getting switched out and having to, you know, rush a four shooting a corner three. Right? Shaq could never imagine that. So this shit is like, oh. It's fucking trigonometry to him. He doesn't get it.
It is, but the thing is, I don't think it's trigonometry.
It's crazy because it's not the most complicated shit.
He's making it trigonometry. It's really fourth grade long division, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, and he's making it trig because he just doesn't want to see it. And that's the thing. Like, you know, he's just one of those guys where, like, you know, it's just like, Candace just had enough that night. Like, bro. You see how the games play, right? We watch it every night together.
If you've ever disappointed a black person, you know the feeling when she gave him the quick look and then spun to look at D-Wade.
Bro, she's like, that's that nigga please look. That's that N-bomb please. Bro, like, come on. She hit him with it and he deserved it. Like, you know what I mean? But I mean, like you said, that's not
like,
the one.
Well, they switch in
that's
the NBA,
not the one you want to question, why? Especially on some remedial ass shit. You know what I mean? Foundational knowledge. Anyway.
God bless. You know.
Good luck.
God bless and good luck.
You feel me? Shit, bro.
I'm sure it'll work out for him. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what time it is? It's time for the group chat.
Can we talk about my favorite story of the week? The absolute caper pulled on Nike.
Oh, this shit.
By the mother-son tandem of Ann and Joe. I'm not quite sure how to say the last name. I'm going to say A Bear because I think that's the funniest way to say it. It might be.
I've been saying that shit. I've been calling that shit Herbert the whole time, which is funny as hell.
I thought it was Herbert too. Is
yeah,
it?
which makes it even funnier that Herberts are out here yanking every motherfucking body.
Herberts are out here running the shoe game. That's, and that's, that, That's the problem with the shoe game. Fucking Herberts.
Too many motherfucking, you know what I mean? Herberts.
Too many Herberts out here involved in this shit, dog.
Okay, let me walk through some of the basic facts on this shit, because it's one of the rare stories where the truth of what happened is crazier than like anything you could make up. This kid was totally using, either with her knowledge or without, I believe with her knowledge, his mom's senior position at Nike to move weight, bro. I mean, he was posting pictures. He had to rent a warehouse.
He's the El Chapo of fucking sneakers, bro. You know what I mean?
He was making like a quarter mil a month.
No way.
And
no
was
way.
Making yeah. so much money that he went looking for. He was calling reporters saying, someone should profile my company, West Coast Streetwear. Which, by the way, is the most the I'm a 19-year-old name. Shit ever. Right?
That, I saw that. Like the whole story here is, you know, and we discussed this. It's not about the money for this kid, I don't think. You know, he grew up rich. He wants the clout. He wants the recognition. Which is why he went out, you know, calling publications, trying to get profiled. And seeing that West Coast street where I was like, this is the most wannabe down ass motherfucker
you on
the
planet. Bro. This is a dork that had a mom in high position, and he fucked it up. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Like, bro, just
fucked it up for both of them.
For the both of them. I mean, but she's been there like 25, 30 years. And she told him about it. She told him about it.
Listen, do you know when you lose your exit package from a company like that?
When she lost the exit package? I thought she was getting that.
She's quitting to try and avoid being arrested.
Yeah. This is like embezzlement shit, bro. You ain't getting that severance.
She's not getting the golden handshake for quitting.
I thought she was going to cash out on the resign shit. Like, let's make a deal. And then, you know, I'm going to get out your hair. You feel me?
There's no deals when you don't have any cards, bro. So she was in charge of the sneakers app.
Yeah. Huge conflict of interest here. Huge fucking conflict of interest.
But I mean, she told them that her son was doing this, and they was like, okay, that's cool, whatever. But they didn't know. She didn't know the dude had a warehouse, a Nike warehouse full of fucking Nikes under West Coast, whatever the fuck.
West Coast streetwear.
Well, it's worse than that too. Like he would know, oh, this is about Nike's about to pull this, and he would stock up on stuff, right?
This is inside sneaker trading. Right? Like,
man, dorks winning the game. That's why, you know what I'm saying? That's why I don't even fuck with that shit no more. That is genuinely frustrating. You know what I mean? Remember when I'm gonna sound like Shaq right now. Remember back when I was wearing, you know what I mean? Like, no, we can walk up to somebody based on their sneakers they had, we could have a real conversation, right? Mm-hmm. It was before the hype and all that shit, when sneaker culture was almost for sneaker nerds, bro. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, I was fucking with shit like Reggie White's and all type of Cordell Stewart's and all, you know what I mean? It wasn't just about the hype. And you could sit down and rap about the culture and why this shoe was made this way and what Tinker was thinking when he made these Jordans, whatever the fuck, you know what I mean? And now it's all about hype, bro.
You do sound
like And we
like
got
Shaq.
Herbert's, a
you
dude.
Know what I'm That's the pre-Herbert era, bro.
Right,
they don't play defense like that anymore.
Now we got weed belt wearing motherfuckers running the sneaker shit, and it's really sickening to me, bro. Like, it's like, dog, man.
There definitely was a time where, you know, you see someone with some Diamond Turfs on, you roll up on, like, yo, I love the Diamond Turfs. He was like, I had a pair in sixth grade. Like, yeah, I had a pair in fourth grade,
cool
too.
Waters,
you know
what
I'm saying?
What I mean?
I had to get them, too. It's not like that anymore, bro. Like, I don't think people have... Yeah, I don't think people have an understanding of, like, the history of the retros that are being put out. It's just hype beast shit right now.
And I
am on my Shaq shit too. We are angry old men today. Fuck.
Right. It ain't fun no more. This shit ain't fun. The shit used to be fun, bro. When you could collect and wasn't like a bots weren't involved. And you know what I mean? Like, you didn't see like whoever had the most money had, you know, it wasn't none of that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we would go and search and find sneakers, like multiple stores, come ups, you know what I mean? Get DMP packs for half off. You know what I mean? Shit like that at like Glicks or some weird ass store that nobody went to. You know what I mean? Like, and that was a vibe. And now you got people like Herbert, the Herberts, you know what I'm saying? Moving weight for the clout, you know, a fucking dork, you know what I'm saying?
Pull the strings. On top of a stack of boxes.
Bro, like, dog, I mean? You look and you ain't still ain't fucking nothing. You know what I mean? How much vagina did he not get? You know what I mean? with all them fucking Jordans you selling, and you still need the clout, bro. You still had to fuck the bag up and run to the police, basically, and tell on yourself because you that thirsty, dog. Lead us
he was bro. Showing account sheets.
Nerds aren't ruining basketball. They're ruining the sneaker game, okay?
He's showing account statements to the reporter to show off, bro, like, look how much money I'm making. And his mom's name is on the credit card.
He's wiling. Thirsty. All these off-white fives he had, you feel me? And still, bro, you still ain't got the type of attention you want, dog. Like, bro, just stop it, man.
All those sneakers are not going to fill that void in your heart, Herbert.
That Herbert. Big black hole in your heart.
Herbert, yeah. Herbert.
That unquenchable thirst for clout will not be quenched by some
the kids order. Are thirsty for clout, you know what I mean? Like, damn,
it's crazy. Like, you fucked up a lot of money for that one,
bro. Bro, imagine making that type of money.
You're talking about millions,
and anybody knows anything, like, bro, like, come on, bro. Like, the last thing I'm doing is telling myself.
At the current moment, I have 3 scams going, none of which are that lucrative, and I would never talk to the media about any of that shit, and I am the media.
The shit is crazy, bro.
You
should have
just done what I do and just DM with fucking Mero about it on Twitter, bro. Like,
imagine having all these niggas and putting your face out there knowing how foul this shit is you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Just for
how much everyone hates what you've done. You know what I mean?
It's ugly, man. It's an ugly world we living in. You feel me?
You know, best of luck to the Herberts.
No, worst of luck to the Herberts. They don't need no fucking luck.
Prayers down for the Herberts.
Privileged ass motherfuckers. Worst of luck to the Herberts.
Rest in piss to the Herberts.
The Herberts. I'm with it.
They're gonna be the Herberts forever. I don't give a fuck how you
right. Really fuck a Herbert. Fuck a Herbert. Not just the Herberts. You know what I mean? Herbert's period, you know?
The next time you're watching basketball, I've got the perfect way for you to get in on the action for free, John and Tyler. I'm talking about NBA InPlay. It's absolutely free to play on the FanDuel app and features all the fun of live betting. NBA InPlay turns every quarter of every game into a free contest where you can win real cash prizes. So while you're watching the game, all you have to do is predict the outcomes of plays and game props before they happen to claim your share of the prize pool. Best of all, a new contest starts every quarter of every game, giving you even more ways to win. FanDuel is the exclusive home for NBA InPlay, so the action is always available right at your fingertips on the FanDuel app. The app is easy to use. It takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. It doesn't matter where you live or where you're traveling to, because NBA InPlay is available in every state. Don't miss your shot. I like
good that. Job, Mike. Good That's job. Cute.
It's not over yet. Get in the game and download the FanDuel app to start playing NBA InPlay today. All right, now back to the show.
There was an NFL reporter here that the subject of unpaid internships came up on, and I would like to say fuck unpaid internships, but for the sake of the story, I'm going to keep things moving here. We'll come back to that. Put a pin in that. We'll come back to that.
Put a pin in it.
Put a pin in it. But yeah, so there's this NFL reporter who talked about how she posted, a posting for an unpaid internship, and she was like, you know, she's, you know, getting, you know, people asking, is this going to be paid? She's like, I can't believe that people want to get paid for this. You know, I busted my ass for unturned internships. I lived off $16,000 a year for my first 2 years working in the field. But yeah, I mean, the biggest story here is, like, you know, I said, fuck unpaid internships. They are they are a way to gatekeep. As simple as that, because there are plenty of people out here who want to work in sports and who can't afford to intern for free because they got bills to pay, they got rent to pay, they got to fucking eat. And then there are people who can do unpaid internships because they have a safety net supporting them. They've got, you know, family holding them down financially. They know if this shit doesn't work out that, you know, there's a backup plan here and they're going to be financially stable throughout whatever, you know, may occur. So, I mean, it comes down to the whole thing where people say, oh, you say I'm privileged, like I didn't work for this. No, I'm sure you busted your ass for it, but you had a safety net there that a lot of people didn't. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what people need to realize here. So.
And you had you also had a, it's, because you're right. It's like people get offended, like, oh, you're saying I didn't work for it. It's not that you didn't work for it. It's that you had not just the safety net, but an open door to you that was not available to me, or, you know, probably to you guys, to most people who don't come from Chili Baron money. But I do. I mean, it's like unpaid internships are a form of like financial and thus racial nepotism, right? Mm. That it's like, do you come from a family that lets you do this? And what bothers me about the whole unpaid internship thing is the one part of the conversation I thought got missed on Twitter is it's not just sports. It's journalism. It's sports. It's entertainment. Crazy in entertainment. You know, in entertainment, you got to, like, if you're trying to get on a crew in a union, you got to work at a horrible rate for like a year before you can get into the union for set decorating, shit like that, right? And it perpetuates all that stuff that we were just talking about, but it's also just a numbers game. I'll give you Long Beach State, for example, at our local university. Everyone wants to, people want to work in sports. And so there's more supply of people, mm-hmm. or there's more demand for people than there is a supply of jobs.
Yeah.
And so as a result, you can go, okay, well, you're going to be unpaid for a year, and then we're going to pay you $40,000 to live in Southern California the first year or something, right? And if you don't like it, I'm going to look you in the eye and say, I have 50 people who would take your job.
And it's a fact.
And it's a dead fucking fact. That's the problem. When JJ and I started our first website in 2008, we're 23 years old. We had no fucking anything. I got an email from a dude our second week who'd been a journalist at the LA Times for 25 years, who got laid off and was offering to work for free to keep his name out there. This is a 50-something-year-old dude who won awards as a journalist, emailing a 23-year-old to say, I will work for free. Wow, like, that's what it is. And so if you are a college kid who, you know, like me, like whoever, you didn't have the money to do an unpaid internship, that's what you have to compete against for step one on the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why the whole thing is so rigged. It just doesn't even make sense. Like, these are when we talk about, like, when everyone's talking about structural inequality and racism and shit over the mm-hmm. summer, like, these are the unsolvable problems you're talking about. Because even if you take unpaid internships away, it's still the numbers game of 1,000 people want your job.
Mm. Right. And to your point, you know, a lot of people say, well, if you don't want to do for free, you know, make way, because there are plenty of other people who will do for free. And you're absolutely right. But why are we fucking making excuses for rich people to be cheap?
You know what I'm saying? Like, they might try that, but yeah, for us to be like, you know, to make excuses for that, that is so weird. You know what I mean? I don't get that part. Yeah. Playing ourselves, you know what I'm saying? But like, yeah, right. Like, know your value.
Just say, bro, it's a numbers game, so I'm gonna do it even though it's shitty. That's their right, because they're the ones who have all the money. Yeah. We don't have to pretend that it's like spiritually beneficial. You know what I mean? to have to overcome all this shit just to get your foot in the door in sports.
Right, right. Well, I mean, all that grinding that you did would not mean any less if you were getting a fucking direct deposit every other week for it. Like, it's as simple as that, bro. I mean, you know, people kind of do the whole, you know, mythologizing themselves, like, you know, I did it all for free. I was just following my dreams, busting my ass free. That's great. You could have got paid during that too, though, dog.
Couldn't be me,
you know.
Cool, but couldn't be me,
because I would have starved to death.
Right, literally couldn't be me. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's not a surprise to me that the three of us are on the same page about that, obviously. But I just wanted to—I don't know—I thought that deserved some conversation, especially with the Chili Baron angle.
Fucking Chili Tycoon, man.
Chili Tycoon, bro. I'm telling you, there's so many ways to make money out.
What's the dumbest shit you've heard of someone being super rich from?
Chili Tycoon is up there, but Chili. but when I found out he was rooted in Texas, I was like, okay, that makes sense. Chili is big business in fucking Texas, so. Let me think.
I'll start the Wrigley family.
The chewing gum motherfuckers.
Wrigley Field, chewing gum, Wrigley Field, all this other stuff. And so, and you know, growing up, sports fan, I know Wrigley Field. Okay, cool. Oh, it's the gum, whatever. There's an island off the coast in Long Beach, Catalina Island. It used to be in the 50s, you know, Sinatra and everyone would go out there. It was like the, you know, the playtown, party town, whatever. The island is literally owned by the Wrigley family. It's currently owned by the Wrigley family. There's a city there. There's a public school there. But everywhere you go that is not a house owned by a person is owned by the Wrigley family because of chewing gum like 100 years ago, bro.
But, I can kind of see why, because like Wrigley chewing gum still holds up today. You know what I mean? Like, some motherfucking Big Red or some Juicy Fruit. That shit still bang today. So I can imagine how it was like 100 years ago.
Y'all be buying that shit?
I don't buy it, but if someone offers me a stick, I'm like, okay, this is pretty cool. You know what I mean?
I don't know the last time I bought a
I haven't brought chewing gum in, I don't know, since my fucking high school days, I guess. But like the candy back in the fucking early 1900s, like Good and Plenty. Have you ever tried that bullshit? Like fucking Wrigley's had to have been like gold candy standard back then, right?
Because so they were just eating cardboard with syrup on it and shit.
Yeah.
You know what
fucking,
I mean?
Like- yeah. Those fucking... Dog, early 1900s candy is the worst shit ever. Like the fucking circus peanuts. What is that bullshit, man?
Hey, but that's America. Like, if you look around your room right now, every single thing in your room was invented by someone whose family are billionaires now. You know what I mean?
Ooh, baby powder, Johnson & Johnson, bro. Like, them fucking cashing out on fucking baby powder, bro. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. And those I swear those motherfuckers fight a class action lawsuit every fucking year behind that baby powder. Right, motherfuckers are dying behind that shit and have been dying for decades. And that
what?
Shit
is that a fact?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, that shit has caused like ovary cancer for women who have, used it for a long time. Yeah.
Damn, I used to use that shit. Like, I used that up until I was like 18, dog.
Still needed it from time to time, you know? Does get a little humid out here. Every now
and then. I was a wild boy at 18, you feel me? So I had to poof and hit the nights of the summer.
You're currently engaged in the wildest shit I've ever heard you talk about. You've given up sugar?
No, this is the thing, my G. Processed sugar. First off, like, I had chilled out eating like bullshit like two, 3 years ago.
Did you see this, Tyler?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you did? Okay. And like my abs went crazy. I was like, damn, bro. Like, so I'm just chilling on this, whatever, right? But I'm like, I've been bullshit the last few, like the last month, I've been bullshit. So my workout group was like, yo, let's do a little challenge, a little whatever. So for 6 weeks, we cleaning up our diet just to see what happened to our bodies. And my G, it's like the third day without sugar. And I'm like, the shit I would use, I'm not even like cookies. I'll eat cookies like once a week. That's like my sweet, or maybe cheesecake. Like I get to eat a sweet once a week. But like the things that contain sugar that I didn't know about, like my dried cranberries, it had sugar and canola oil in it, which is not good. I'm like, I can't eat that shit. Like, so like I'm getting all my sugar from fruit now. And that's cool and all. But like, bro, like that processed sugar. I remember watching a documentary where they had rats and they would choose cocaine or sugar. And sugar was more addictive than cocaine was. You know what I'm saying? Like sugar.
I absolutely believe that.
And like,
because you said you were giving up processed sugar. And my first response was literally, oh no.
Like, bro, no, dude. Like I like this today, I had to take a nap at like 11:30. You know what I mean? Like, my mood was fucked up, you know what I mean? Like, I felt like a crackhead out here, you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm geeking, dog.
You were having full-on withdrawals.
Withdrawals, literal withdrawals, like, from a drug addiction. Like, I talk about coffee and shit all the time. My coffee's crack. This sugar crack for real, bro. But people were saying it because people have done it. They're like, just hold on for, like, 7 to 10 days. You know what I mean? After that, you'll feel so good. They're approaching it like I need, like, you know what I'm saying? Like... You know, I'm not like I'm fighting a heroin addiction. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
Like, you might as well be, bro. I don't know.
I need dopamine shot right into me for the next 10 days until I can get my, until I get past this heavy shit. But yeah, man, y'all never tried that shit before? Y'all never done this?
No, I was gonna say the thing about sugar that I would have a problem giving up is juice. Like, my wife gives me, it's a running joke that I'm like a toddler because I love fucking juice. She's like, oh, gotta have this juice. You're a three-year-old. And bro, I run through so much juice in like a week, dog. Like, on some real shit, like, I drink about a gallon of juice like a week, bro.
That's crazy sugar.
That's a lot of sugar, bro.
That's hella sugar. But I remember like, me and Tyler were in Atlanta, and I'm like, yo, Tyler, let's go get these acai bowls. I'm my country ass just heard about acai like fucking 2017. You feel me? I'm like, this shit fire. Let's go get them. And I'm like, I'm telling Tyler about how fire they are. I remember Tyler ate that shit. And I just,
listen, bro.
Like, he was like on the verge of throwing up because he doesn't like sweet shit. Yeah. And it was like, I'm looking at him like confused. The nigga left 3 days later. I see ball like 3/4 of it is still there, 3/4, and it's just sitting in my refrigerator. I'm looking at this like, this man really don't. I've never ever seen anybody not, bro. I've been high and eating acai bowls, and it's been like a spiritual experience. And this man was like about to throw up in his mouth due to its sweetness, and it's natural sweetness. It's not like it's like, you know, I don't even think it's processed. It's like, you know, I don't know. Like, anyway, but that's what I realized. You really are a savory ass.
Yeah, I am a savory motherfucker, which is like, I was like, I'm out here in Atlanta and my dog is giving me some fucking honey glazed oats.
but we went. It's not.
We did hit some barbecue.
We hit some barbecue too. Yeah. I was like, that's what I'm here for.
But some honey glazed oats, bro, in Atlanta.
This motherfucking Tyler was eating it. You were eating it for me because you got no enjoyment out of this shit, dog. Yeah, I think about 3 or 4 bites. I'm like, I'll pay for it. It's going to mean, you know what I mean? Like,
it was showing you that he's a polite.
That he's a kind. You know, he was Donovan mentioning me. Right. He was, you know what I mean? Like, bro.
I've never tried anything like that. My mom had to do it.
Well, I'll say her. You haven't. Wait.
No, with the sugar. We're cutting sugar out. Cutting sugar out. No, my mom had to do it, and she had a similar like for her doctor told her she had to do it because she was because she needed to. But she had a similar experience to you. She said it was like 2 weeks. She was like, ugh. She was just miserable because she and I both have horrible sweet tooth.
Bro. I have a horrible sweet tooth, bro.
Like, I would eat those sour gummy belts until my mouth is like on the verge of being bloody. You know what I mean? Like, if you put candy or sugar in front of me, I would just, without even thinking about it, you know what I mean? Until
I don't bring it in the house. Like, I only get sweets. I ordered that particular thing. That's the only thing I eat. If I had it sitting around the house, like,
I was pretty good at that until I had 2 kids.
That's not a fuck you up.
Can't really like, can't really make them bury the trick or treat candy in the backyard. You know what I mean?
When I be having company over and shit, and they bring their old food in here, I'll be fucking up, dog. You know what I mean? I'm like, shit, dog. You feel me? But
that shit.
But I've been at the bar. My barber's wife makes the best cookies ever. They have like this cookie like company they're building. They're gonna be cookie tycoons. I'm certain of it. You know what I mean? And so I get like a dozen cookies every time. Like that's without my sweet generally. And I'll sit. I remember one time he gave me cookies while I was waiting to get a cut. I ate all 12 of the motherfuckers while waiting. Damn. And he looks at me and he's like, I have literally never ever seen that in my life. I've never seen anybody kill a dozen cookies that quick. I did it on some chill shit. I'm like, bro, I usually like finish these cookies on the drive home in traffic if I get it after the cut. You know what I mean?
Let me tell you a true story. It's Girl Scout cookie season right now. Okay, we got a lot of little cousins, a lot of Vincent's friends running around.
Bro, you about to gain like 86 pounds.
We ordered some cookies. They got dropped off at the house. The Thin Mints were sitting there. I love Thin Mints out of the freezer is my shit. Okay. And I put a whole box down before I literally realized what I was doing. And then I realized now I have to get another box before Char and the kids get home.
This motherfucker smashed 2 sleeves of Thin Mints.
Like nothing, bro. You know what I mean? It just not like it's the same shit with pizza, whatever else. Like if I I'm good at removing it from the house.
Yeah.
If it's in front of me, I'm just gonna eat like whatever's there.
The thing is, I'll eat, and then after I get done with those dozen, I'm like, I don't want sweets again for another week, right? You know what I mean? but yeah, I'm not gonna eat it tomorrow. I'm gonna eat it like next Friday. But by like Wednesday. I'm like, oh, is it Friday yet? Oh my God. I'm like, fuck it.
You know what I mean? Like,
we have a couple of crazy science things to talk about at the end of the show here. You guys want to talk about deep fakes, which is like, really, let's open Pandora's box here. What do we think?
Go ahead. You start it off. Tee it up.
Okay, so how do we first start talking about deepfakes in the group chat? I know Tyler had sent had mentioned the Tom Cruise one.
I sent something. You sent
the Bob Ross Mountain
Dew. This happened. I sent the Bob Ross video. The video of Bob Ross being used in a Mountain Dew commercial. And I'm like, this is extremely gross.
And to be clear, if you don't know what a deepfake is, it's a faked video of someone acting based
using your likeness. They're using your likeness.
Right. So this was not a Mountain Dew commercial made with Bob Ross with footage of him from when he was alive. This is taking his likeness, his body, and animating it into a new
post-mortem
Mountain Dew. After he's dead. Yes.
Right.
I feel like calling it their likeness is even short selling it here. It is actually them manipulated by technology, right?
And the thing is, like 100 years from now, or like 60 years from now, a kid will be saying, I saw Bob Ross died in whatever. I saw him in a Mountain Dew. Like, it was like your eyes will tell you saw this guy. You know what I mean? Like, it's something like, Bob Ross might not get, like, how is this going to be used? Bob Ross might not give a fuck about, fucking Mountain Dew. Maybe he despised it and what they stood on or whatever, right? But somebody who's over his estate or over his likeness can use him to make money after he's dead, affecting his legacy in some way. Like how are we going to write wills? You know what I mean? Like,
for everyone in entertainment, that is now very much a part of estate planning, and your work with your agent and your lawyer is who has the control of your, Tyler's right, likeness is way too small of a word. Who has control of the digital you? Because that now has to be assigned to someone. And by the way, a lot of these rights that people sign for movies and stuff, you're signing the rights to your voice or your likeness away. If you look, for example, at the NCAA National Letter of Intent that every NCAA scholarship athlete has signed, you sign away the rights to your name, likeness, and image in perpetuity to the NCAA. Who knows what that could be interpreted? There will be so many Supreme Court cases over this shit. Who knows what that's going to apply to in the future as this technology develops, bro? UCLA going to be able to run an all-time men's basketball team out there against a Kentucky all-time men's basketball team in a real-world simulation that people go to? I mean, you know what I mean? It's really like we're just at the start of the roller coaster.
The precipice! No, but I'm like, dude, like, what about, like, criminal activity? If somebody creates a deep fake of somebody doing criminal activity, who's to say that happened or didn't happen? You know, if you don't have an alibi, like, what does that mean? What does that mean for video evidence? Like, if it gets in the wrong hands, guys,
it's already in the wrong hands.
That podcast you sent us about the shit, it talked about how this dude has 28 different ways to make sure something's true or not. You know what I mean? If that video is truly existed at one point or not.
And
you know what I mean?
Social media companies will not put that technology in to keep deepfakes from being uploaded because they want to wait till something gets blown up. You know what I mean?
But like that Tom Cruise one, I saw the Tom Cruise one too, Tyler. Like that shit, like literally gave me chills, bro. Because that wasn't Tom Cruise, but it was Tom Cruise, dog. You know what I mean? Like when I found out it was a deepfake, I was like, oh my God, something felt weird. I'm like, it feels weird and normal at the same time. And then when I saw it was a deepfake, I was like, whoa, this is some scary shit.
Yeah, and you know, there's something about how I think there's something deeply embedded in us as humans that we even know when we're not looking at humans, regardless of how good that they pull it off. You know what I mean? And there's that little tinge on that Tom Cruise deepfake, and that's what freaks you out. You're like, this looks human. It feels human, but it's not. There's something innately in us telling us this is not a real person, but it still looks all the same. So, but yeah, like to your point, like you wonder about all the fucking nefarious things that could be used for. And like, if someone just blurs it up on some fucking, security footage on some black and white shit of someone's likeness committing some shit that they didn't do, like that shit might could fly. Who knows?
But the podcast I sent you guys is called Brave New Planet. If you're into like cutting edge science stuff and its moral applications, which all three of us are into, it's an interesting series. But in the conversation around deepfakes, they brought up someone did a Cal researcher did a Nixon or whoever speech? It was.
Yeah,
they did a Nixon speech of the speech that he had written for if the moon landing crashed.
Sounded so they just
animated
like
him. It. Oh, right. Freaky. But the podcast talked about what happens if someone uploads a video of a United States president saying we've launched missiles at this country and that country responds before they validated whether it's a real thing or not. You know what I mean? Like that is a real possibility. There's positive applications of this stuff, like being able to animate people's memories if they're struggling with Alzheimer's or whatever. Like that's going to be a really beneficial treatment. Obviously in education, you imagine, instead of kids reading about Rome, putting a headset on them and they could walk around ancient Rome. Like there's all kinds of things that would be incredible about the technology, but I think the podcast also noted 95% of the use of deepfakes currently on the internet are people putting women's faces on pornographic images.
Of course.
That's 95% of what that technology has been used for. So
I feel like that's so indicative of human nature whenever some new technology comes along is how can we use this for evil and how can we use this surrounding some sex shit, right?
Like how can we combine the two to do some evil sex shit?
Some evil, right.
What was really weird too is they talked about how the audio was the most difficult part, like how the video was very easy to manipulate and to create. And I think the audio obviously adds reality to it.
Just real quick, there's a genealogy website. I think it's like MyHeritage. The Frederick Douglass image went a little bit viral, but they literally have a public website. You can go pop in an image of your dad's when they were 4 years old, and it'll make it so that they're looking around and start smiling. And it's pretty good. Yeah. And that's just a public facing, give us one picture.
Yeah, but the audio makes it like more realistic, you know what I mean? But the video could be, I mean, the fact that it's so easy to recreate, just that's scary. You know what I mean? That's really uncomfortable. But yeah, like, and like Tyler, you're talking about how like we always see that, you know, that little tinge of like, you know, this isn't a human. And it never just doesn't feel like it's not human. It feels like it's bad.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like when I'm watching that, I don't feel like this is not a human. This is a computer generated thing. It feels like wrong. You know what I mean? I wonder if that's right. it's a natural thing. Yeah, Go ahead.
I was gonna say, it's not like watching a super fucking advanced video game that almost looks human. And you know, those people aren't human and you don't feel unnerved by that. But seeing like someone try to perpetuate themselves as human and you see that shit, that tinge where you know they're not, that's an eerie fucking feeling. Dude.
Right. I feel like we're going somewhere we shouldn't go, it comes from the gut, and it's just a very natural response to it. And I think we should probably listen to that shit, but I mean, we're not going to. We, you know,
there's no one thing we can all agree on: the toothpaste is not going back in the tube.
Definitely not
with technology. That's obviously not how we work as a species. Okay, before we get out of here, the other group chat segment is the introduction of the Blow Your Mind segment, which is where I'm just going to give you guys some shit that's crazy. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I love crazy shit.
Are you prepared?
I'm low key salivating. Like,
okay.
I'm really excited about this. Do not let me down, Mike.
There's been lots of cool new information about our exploration of outer space. And what I wanted to point out is that while everything up there is very fascinating, we actually have not explored almost any of the planet Earth because an estimated
the ocean
50 to 80% of all life on Earth is found in the ocean, which contains 99% of the living space on the planet, less than 10% of which has been explored by human beings.
Bro, like, it's a fact. I mean, well, this is I don't know if it's well known or not, but we know more about space than we know about the ocean. Like, we've been told that constantly. And like a lot of the ocean is inexplorable. Like we can't get to it. We don't have the tech to get there. As technology
is improving, we are going to be able to see more. And I have some news about that. But before we get to there, average depth of the ocean is 3,795 meters deep. Scientists have named 1.5 million species, It is estimated that there are more than 50 million species that have not yet been found in the ocean, just based on how much we have not been able to explore, which is probably the craziest shit I've ever heard. 3 months ago, no, a little longer than that, they found the longest ocean creature ever recorded. Have you ever heard of a siphonophore?
Bro, bro, like how you spell this, my G? I gotta look this up.
S-I-P-H-O-N-O-P-H-O-R-E. They found a 150-foot-long siphonophore off the coast of Australia. It's so long, it looks like a snake. It's actually in a spiral on the ocean floor, and it just waits for stuff to go over it, and then it like absorbs the proteins and shit.
Wait, but, how?
But
how
just long? To put that in perspective, 150 feet is about twice as long as a blue whale.
Okay, wait. What so is this long. Shit? What does this do? They're covered with venom filled. Nematocysts used to paralyze and kill fish and other small creatures. For humans, a man of war sting is excruciatingly painful, but rarely deadly. Okay, that's all I needed to know.
Oh, it's not gonna kill you. It's gonna kill the little shit that you can't even see. But it's 100, and they found one. And this is just in the area of the ocean we can explore. They found one that's 150 feet long.
Goddamn.
And these motherfuckers bioluminescent too. They just down there glowing fucking shit.
Right. Up. Looking cute and evil as hell.
Deadly as fuck. Bro, any animal that is like bioluminescent is probably bad news. Cause if any animal that's saying, hey, come here, come check me out, man.
Right.
Some bad news shit going on with that, bro.
Got the little breadcrumbs leading to it, you know. I mean, come over here. That's evil lurking, you feel me? 150 feet of anything, dog.
But I want you to think about that. We found 2 million species in the ocean out of 50 million.
I just think like...
There are places in the ocean that are as deep as like 30 Empire State Buildings stacked on top of each other.
But when I learned that like there's...
The pressure would be 30 747 jets pressing down on you at the same time.
I remember learning that like there's places that our tech would go to and it couldn't come back up because the pressure of the water, like holding it down. And even like with humans, that's the same thing. If you go too deep, you can't swim up like that.
The bench, yeah.
The science of that is, that's just crazy to me. But like when like certain tech, we can't explore certain parts. I'm like, bro, like the ocean is just some other shit. And I mean, the things that we see are insane to me, like a whale. Like we like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Did you remember that video where that person was sitting on that fucking, like, that little boat and the whale jumped out of the water? You know what I mean? Like, that motherfucker exists. You saw that close? You know what I mean? Like, it blows my mind. So hearing, like, about siphonophores and what you said, 50 million more different species of, that's...
We are very lucky that whales are docile plankton consumers, because if those motherfuckers were out for blood, right? Dog.
I mean, there's a whale that's out for blood though. The killer whale, adequately named, be fucking up great white sharks and shit. You feel me?
The orca.
Don't be playing.
Technically a porpoise.
Orca.
But yes.
Orca. Hey.
Technically, I'm a porpoise family, but yeah, correct. Commonly known as the killer whale.
So anyway, that's our first Blow Your Mind segment. Tyler's going to do a history. What are we calling the history thing?
I don't know. We'll figure that shit out.
We're going to name it. Tyler's going to talk about history next week.
Just call it Tyler Time. It's Tyler Time.
Oh, Tyler like that.
Tyler Time. Need music for that shit. Yeah, we need to create some music for that. Yeah, but anyway.
All right, y'all. I think that's it. We'll be back again on Monday. And shit.
I'm diving into some siphonophore shit after this, man. You feel me? It's tapping in.
I need all parts.
All parts of that.
It needs all parts of you.
Excruciatingly painful. Shit, nigga.
All right, y'all.
Peace.